Father, we thank you so much that your love does not run dry, that it never fails. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you, the risen Savior, Lord, today. And Father, as we get ready to break open the infallible and inerrant, powerful Word of God that changes lives, Lord, we just pray that it would minister to us, speak to us. God, somebody needs to hear what the Bible's got to say today, and I just pray that you'd help me to preach it faithfully. And God, today, may you just move in only the way you can. We love you, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Give somebody next to you a hug and tell them his love never runs out. Tell them his love never runs out this morning. It never runs out this morning. It never runs out. It never runs out. Well, we're glad you're here at Life Community Church as we worship the Lord together and we celebrate. Today, we're beginning a new series today called Refusing to Quit. Right now in our world, on a global level, we are seeing a conflict and battles that are happening right now. I mean, you can think about Russia. You can think about what's happening in Iraq. You can think about what's happening all over. I mean, we're seeing battles that are happening. I heard somebody say that there's like five major battles going on right now in the world somewhere. I heard somebody say that just the other day. We are definitely living in a time of conflict. We're living in a time of a war, in a time of hardship. Even as we think about what's happening here in the United States at our borders, the crisis there, and we're praying for that situation there. We're praying that God would bring peace in St. Louis. We're praying that God would bring peace in New York City. We're praying that the Lord will be there. And as we think about battles and as we think about war, as we think about things that we have to fight for sometimes, I know that you, though some of you all have served in physical battles while serving our country, I'm aware of that, and we say thank you for your service. But there, even though if you have never served in a physical platoon or a battalion or anything like that, I think it's fair to say today that we all know what it's like to be in a battle. Anybody agree with me on that? That it may not necessarily be with an enemy behind enemy lines, but a battle of something, a battle of some sort of conflict, something that challenges us, something that opposes us, something that gets in our face and gets in our business. It could be anything from a sickness, maybe battling cancer or battling for your marriage or battling for your children or battling for your nation or battling for your church, as the devil often tries to claim that. We know what it's like to be in battles. And one thing I also know about in times of battles and in times of endurance and perseverance and having that battle day after day confronting that, you know what happens, don't you? It flat wears you out. If you ever had a battle that you've had to deal with, it just flat wears you out. Because it's constantly, every day, it's happening and it's hard. It takes all your energy. It takes all your vitality. It takes it to be sober. It takes it to have that healthy marriage. It takes it for all kinds of things. And it's a battle. And it flat wears you out. And sadly, the temptation that the devil plants in our lives when we're in a battle, when we're pressing forward, the temptation is this: to quit. Just give up. Just stop. I mean, what's the point? How's it going to work out? I mean, it's the end. Let's just quit. Let's just quit. Let's just give up. It's easier to be sidetracked. It's easier to give in to the other forces than it is to fight. It's just easier. And the temptation is to quit. But my challenge to Life Community Church is that you refuse to quit this morning. That you refuse to quit on your marriage. You refuse to quit on your church. You refuse to quit on your children. You refuse to quit. And as we tackle this subject over the next 3 weeks, today plus 3 weeks, we're going to get into some areas of calling out on the Lord for strength and calling out on God for help. Because, listen, the only way you're not going to quit, can I tell you, the only way you're not going to quit is if God's in this thing with you. Because naturally, physically, spiritually, carnally, we just want to give up. But if the Lord is doing it, if God is in it, if He's infusing us, and if the Lord is pushing us and He's holding us and sustaining us and guiding us, then the Lord will be there. And I'm really excited because as we talk about big challenges, and our church is approached the challenge. You know, technically we're on our own for the very first Sunday today. That's a challenge. Did you know that? That's a challenge. You know, mama, we don't live with mama anymore. You know, we out on our own. We paying our own bills now. Amen. You know, we going to be eating ramen noodles for a little while, aren't we? You know, it's just what happens. It's just what happens. And that's going to be a challenge and a battle. But you know what I'm excited about? It gives us a chance to rely on God and for God to raise us up for the challenge. It gives us, you know, we're going to be voting on a new budget, a proposed budget next week, not today. But we're going to be doing that. And somebody said, man, you guys charter, now you get all these business meetings. Man, y'all are really Baptist, aren't you? No, we just getting the ball rolling, all right? Then we're going to take a break. Hallelujah, all right? It's going to be all right. Brian's nodding his head. He's our moderator. He says, yeah, we're going to get what's done out of the way and take a break for a while. But we're going to have a budget, and it's going to be a challenge. You know, our new treasurers faithfully, prayerfully this week and over the last couple weeks have put together a by faith budget. You know, it's going to be a challenge. It'll be an opportunity for us to rise up to meet that as it's an increase of giving. It'll be a challenge for us to do that. But I believe it's one that God can lead us to. Amen? I believe God can do that. And that through the Lord, we can do that. I believe in it with all my heart. We can do it. And as what I'm really excited about, our campaign that's coming up. And our campaign, we did one last year, but a campaign, the purpose of that, which is going to be happening in September, is to get our church unified, all of us on the same page, all of our life groups on the same page. It's a big deal to your pastor that life groups are on the same page. That's near and dear to my heart, that we're together and unified. And we're going to be talking about what it means to be a church member in September. And we've set a by faith goal. And this is the first time that I've said this out loud. So Rob will appreciate that as our campaign director. But on our high attendance Sunday, which is the 21st, we're going to challenge you to get 300 people in this room. You think you can do it? Through the power of God, you can. At Easter, we had 200. I don't know. Jerry, you count it yet? You counted in here yet? What's our number? 142. Everybody brings one person with them. We got one or two people with them. We got that. You know? That easy. It's not that hard. Why do we do that? Because challenges make us rely on God. We're trying to get everybody in a life group. Everybody in a life group for the new campaign that's coming up. Everybody together and unified. These are things that we just can't do on our own. But we're praying that God would do it. That the Lord would be our strength. Now, if you have your Bibles this morning, I just want us to be so encouraged not to give up. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Now, as a new church, I preach a lot from the New Testament. So some of y'all are saying, due to what this morning? You know, you're saying that. But we're going to Deuteronomy. It's in the Old Testament. It's towards the beginning. Deuteronomy. And let me give you a little bit of background on Deuteronomy this morning. As some of y'all are looking at me like, what's that? That's one of the books that Moses wrote, all right? And to give you the context, Moses has led the Israelites out of Egypt. The Exodus has happened. They are in the desert, about to go into the promised land. The whole book of Deuteronomy is kind of like the last instructions before Joshua leads them into the promised land. So old Mo is given some final thoughts on how they should live before they go into the promised land. And I love preaching out of a chapter on a Sunday morning with a title that says Rules for War. Isn't that just cool this morning, you know? And you're sitting there thinking, rules for war? Kenny, what are you leading us to? You know, rules for war? What in the world? Well, when the Israelites had to go into the promised land, they were going to have to fight battles. And they were going to be really tempted to give up and quit. And God gave them instructions for how to accomplish those battles. And I think even though we're not going to be fighting a physical war, you know what it's like to be in a battle. You know what your battle is this morning. You know what your challenge is this morning. And I believe the same spiritual concept that we see in the days of Moses and Joshua also are applicable and transferable to us today. And in your battle, us as a church, your battle for your marriage, your kids, your battle for your job, your battle for your sanity, whatever it is. So we look at what God's word says and let it speak to you this morning. Moses writes this, when you go out to war against your enemies and you see horses, chariots, and an army larger than yours, don't be afraid of them. So when you go out and you see all kinds of military power, you see atomic bombs, you see tanks, you see aircraft carriers, and all you got are slingshots and pop guns and BB guns. And that's all you got. And they got nuclear bombs. Look what he says to them. Do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, is with you. When you're about to engage in battle, the priest is to come forward and address the army. Isn't that funny? Before you go out to army, get the preacher to come talk to them, you know? The first chaplain in history, amen? Get the preacher to come out and talk to them. And he's to say to them, listen, Israel, today you're about to engage in battle with your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted. Do not be afraid, alarmed, or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. Now listen to this part. To fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. For this sermon series, this is our theme verse, our memory verse, is Deuteronomy 24. So let's just read that together out loud. You ready? For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. Now that's a mouthful, so we're going to say it again. Amen? All right? Here we go. You ready? For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. One more time, right? For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. Deuteronomy 24. And the Israelites needed to know this because as they were going into battle, as they were going to engage the enemy, they were going to see massive armies, and God had told them, don't be afraid. You see that all the way through the Pentateuch. Don't be afraid. You see it over and over and over. Don't be scared. Don't be scared about the battle that's coming. Don't be scared. But remember what God did. And as they would remember that God brought the plagues on Egypt, that he split the Red Sea for them to pass through, that while they were in the desert, he provided quail, he provided manna for them in the desert, that there was miracles themselves in the desert. There was a fire by night, a pillar of smoke by day, and they were to remember the mighty acts of God. So when they crossed over into the promised land, and now they're fighting giants, now they're fighting armies, now they're fighting these incredible battles, just remember that the God that they represent is the same God that brought the plagues yesterday, the same God that split the Red Sea yesterday, the same God that brought the manna in the desert yesterday, and he'll be the same God that walks with us today. And I want to tell you something. The day when the Lord saved you, and he came into your life, and you felt him, and you felt his presence, you know, you may not feel that same presence like you used to. Maybe sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But I want to tell you something really amazing. Feelings are tricky. Don't ever base stuff on feelings. I can eat a bologna sandwich, and you know what? That can alter the way I feel about 3 o'clock in the morning if I eat it at right before I go to bed. It can alter the way I feel. So feelings are not to be trusted, but listen, the Word of God is to be trusted. The Bible is to be trusted. So regardless of how you feel, remember what the Bible says, because the Bible always trumps a feeling. Always trumps a feeling. And when you are in your battle, whatever it is that you're praying for victory, you're praying for release, whatever it is, remember the same God that came into your life to save you, whether you feel him as strong as you used to or not, he is still the same God that was with you yesterday. He's not changed. He's still amazing. He's still awesome. And as we fight the battles that God has for us, the challenges, especially as a young church, you know, breaking through growth barriers, breaking through financial barriers, breaking through physical location barriers. You know, we're not going to stay at OCTC forever. We're not. Now, how much longer are we going to stay here? I don't know. I have no clue. I'm grateful for it. But the day will come when we'll have to chart into an unknown territory, won't we? You know, my prayer and my hope is that we'll be a church planting church. You've heard me say that a couple times, right? And your crazy preacher is going to come to you one day and say, guys, we need to take some of our budget and pay it forward to a church. Y'all just get ready, all right? Just get ready. And those will be challenges. Those will be scary. Those will be insane. But I love it when we're nuts. Never underestimating the Spirit. I love it when we're nuts. Never underestimating the Spirit. I love it when we're nuts. Never underestimating the Spirit. Had a theology professor that taught that to me. I'm going to text him here in a little while. Told him I used this stuff this morning. How about that, you know? So that's good stuff. But as we fight our battles today, I want you to know a few things about your battle this morning. I want you to know just a few things about the battle that you face, the trouble that you face, the challenge that is approaching you. Three things this morning, and we're going to kind of take a survey through the Old Testament this morning to do this. But as we remember that we're not to be afraid, we're to let God fight our battle for us, three things I want you to see this morning. First is this: God fights your battle. This is very important to understand that God is the one who's to do the fighting. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15, it says this, as you go down about halfway, it says, this is what the Lord says, do not be afraid or discouraged. Remember, I told you that's said over and over and over in Scripture. God does not give us a spirit of fear because of the vast number. And I love what it says, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Just look at your neighbor and say, it ain't your fight. It ain't your fight. Now, this is what we struggle with. When we have a challenge, it's our challenge. It's our hardship. So therefore, what do? We rise to the occasion, right? We handle it. I'm big boy. I can handle big boy problems. I can do this. But the battle's not yours, man. It ain't yours. You know what I've learned about trying to fight battles on my own? I always lose. Always. When I try to fight battles on my own, I can't do it. I run ahead of God. I run behind God. But never with God. I've learned that when I fight my own battles, it makes me negative. It makes me cynical. It puts me in a bad place. Have a friend of mine that's a pastor. And I'll tell you, pastors have seen people. You can tell when a person fights their own battles or when they don't fight their own battles. You see that in the way they act. And a pastor friend of mine, he was preaching, and they had done something. Somebody had just made a decision on the fly, something like that. And right in front of a group of people, a deacon runs out. And he yells at the pastor in front of a whole group of people and just rips them apart because something didn't go exactly right. And my friend, who's a pastor, he said, let's just talk about this in private. He took the man to the side, and he started into his tirade. And I love what he told the man. He said, let's just stop there. He asked him a question. He said, do I talk to you like that? He said, no. He said, have I ever talked to you like that in front of a group of people? He said, no. And he looked at him and he said, you don't talk to me like that in front of a group of people. See, that man thought he was trying to hold the church together in his own power. That he was trying to do it. And when it didn't work and it didn't happen, what did he do? He lashes. I've seen that happen many, many times. Where if you're not trusting in God and you're not letting the Lord fight your battles, it doesn't go your way. And what do? You lash out. You go nuts. Not the never underestimating the Spirit kind, but like wacko nuts. And you lash. And you can always tell if somebody is able to trust God with their problems or if they're not trusting God with their problems. Because if they're not trusting God with their problems, they're just like a Tasmanian devil. You get in their path, boy, they will suck you up and spit you out. They will. They hurt everybody in their path. Why? Because they're in war mode. And when you're in war mode, you fight, don't you? And what the Bible says is that, hey, listen, we're not to be in war mode. We're to give. Who's supposed to be in war mode? God is. It ain't your fight. What I've learned is if you're in constant war mode, you know what? You're not pleasant to be around. I love you, but nobody else will, all right? Just kidding, all right? Just kidding. It's tough to be around people that are always fighting, always fussing, always complaining, always critiquing, blah, 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 blah. Because they've not learned how to give God the battle. They do it themselves. They get little groups, they complain, they pull off to the side. Well, this is my complaints, these are my critiques, blah, 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 blah. They've yet to learn to give it to God. It's pagan. It's wrong. It's bad. And it will make you go wacko. Just being honest with you. So what do we need? In that time period, it doesn't mean that we're passive. It doesn't mean that a challenge comes along and we do nothing. Because even the Israelites, though the battle was God, they had to go into war. But the problem was is that they would either go in their own strength or the strength of the Lord. So they had to have instruction, and they had to do exactly what the Lord told them. Now, this is how we are to approach our challenges and our battles. We take the Word of God, and we apply the Word of God to our lives. I gave you one crazy acronym. I'll give you another one. You ready? Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Basic instructions before leaving earth. How do you let God fight your battle for you? You take the principles outlined in God's holy word and you apply them to your life. So when you offer forgiveness to your enemies, you're acting in God's warfare. When you love those who persecute you and you pray for those who persecute you, you're acting in God's warfare. Doesn't make sense humanly, does it? But if we define the rules on how we engage battle, we will fail. But if we let the Lord define it and we just get with Him and in line with Him, we'll be all right. Last time I checked, God's a lot better at strategic planning than I am. You with me on that? Man, He has given you 66 books, not for you just to sit there and look at it, but for you to apply it to your life. And if we apply the Word of God, that's how you give the Lord the battle. You let God guide you and lead you through His holy word, and you apply the principles. The fruit of the Spirit comes out. Prayer, perseverance, steadfastness in Christ. These are things that you do. Now, I want to tell you something. When you apply the Word of God to your life, when you're in a struggle, it looks very different than the worldly battles that we have. In the worldly battles, you take charge, you make a scene, you control, you manipulate, whatever. In God's battle, you apply the Word of God and you trust God for victory. Now, one thing about trusting God implies that you have to wait. See, trusting has a waiting component to it. It has a waiting side to it. I don't know about you, but I hate to wait. Anybody else in here? My ADD and waiting don't go good together, okay? It just don't work good together. It doesn't happen. I don't wait well. But there's part of something about doing it God's way that requires you to wait. Almost every time, by the way. Almost every time. Because something happens in the waiting process. You draw close to God. We had to learn this in our church planting. God had given us the vision to start Life Community Church 6 years before anything ever happened. 6 years. We had to wait and pray for that to happen. Next, I want you to see that in this waiting time, if you really do it God's way, this is what you need to understand, that God sustains you in the battle. He sustains you. Remember, the battle's not yours, and now you're playing by God's rules, not your rules, so you're going to need some help. Because when you do this God thing, when you do it the Lord's way, it ain't easy. It's easier to do it your way, but it's not effective your way. God's way is effective. So God sustains you in the battle. Psalms 28, verse 8 says this, "The Lord is the strength of His people. He is a stronghold of salvation for His anointed." The Lord is the strength of his people. He's a stronghold of salvation for his anointed. When you wait before God and you trust in God to handle your fight for you, something happens. In that waiting time, you give God the opportunity to lift you up. You give God the opportunity to speak into you. You know, some of the lowest times in my life has been when God has spoke to me the clearest. Just being honest with you. Because why? I was ready to hear, wasn't I? I was ready to hear. And there's something about when you are waiting for the Lord to intervene and you're trusting and you do things the way God wants you to, all you can do in that moment is just take delight in God. Take pleasure in his glory. And even though every day may be a challenge getting out of bed for you, really, and for some it is, you're believing that God's your strength. And you're believing that as hard as it is, he'll sustain you through his power and his grace. There's also something very relieving about letting God handle the battle instead of you. It takes all the worry off of you because you're not in control. God is sovereign. God is good. And you're believing that. Boy, this is hard. Isn't it hard? Isn't it hard? But I want you to see the last key point of this. In this whole series, we're going to be talking about dealing with challenges. But I really want you to see this last slide. God gave you Jesus for the battle. Now, that may not mean very much to you, but it should mean everything to you. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us, and say that word with me, gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Bible tells us that the ultimate challenge, the ultimate battle that we have is death itself. It's the one that claims everybody. It's the nasty one. It's the ugly one. It's death. But the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that when Jesus died, he tackled the last opponent, death. And when he suffered and died and bled on the old rugged cross and he was laid in the ground for our sins, listen, 3 days later, that old tomb rolled open. He came out. Death was defeated. And if death is defeated, check it before you wreck it. If death is defeated, it's the biggest enemy there is. So if Jesus is in your heart, the greatest enemy is whipped today. It's done. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, no matter what hits you or zaps you or slaps you, death is defeated. One thing I think about the battle, as we trust in God, putting it together and putting the pieces together and cosmically how he does that behind the scenes, I don't know. But one thing I know this. No matter what happens to me in the battle, the wounds I get, the hurt I get, etc., Jesus ain't going to leave me. He's going to be with me because he lives inside of me. And no matter what, the battle is over with Jesus. Because heaven is home for me. See, for some of us, you may never get the relief. Now, this is sad, but I just need to hear me. We live in a fallen world. You may never get the relief on earth that you desire. May never happen. But thank God for those that are Christians, this is not the end for us. The battle is God's. So what should you do in your suffering? What should you do in your trials? What should you do in your pain and misery? Make it your chief goal to give Jesus Christ glory. Because in the end, we win with Jesus. In the end, we win with Jesus. Make it your goal to give God glory, to give Jesus Christ glory in everything you do. Give Jesus the glory. Glorify his name in everything you do. And buddy, if you learn how to do that, to give Jesus the glory, the battle is won. We DVR. Any other DVR fans in the house? Wonderful, isn't it? Praise God for DVR. It's like, you know, the Lord has given us water and air and DVR. You know, it's great. We just found a new show that I really, really like a lot. It's addicting, but it's called Mysteries at the Museum. Anybody seen Mysteries at the Museum? I watched it the other night. We watch it all the time. Weird stuff. They tell stories about artifacts in museums and weird stuff, weird stories. And I'm closing with this and I'm done. But I watched one the other night about President Garfield, one of the early presidents of the United States. And a lot of people don't realize this, but he was assassinated. He was killed. He was a Baptist preacher, but actually before he became, the president of the United States. So that tells you why he got assassinated, right? He had double whammies against him, you know. But he was assassinated. He was shot twice, actually. He was shot twice. And they thought they could save President Garfield. They actually thought they could save him. And what happened was they found one bullet and they were able to extract that bullet. But they knew that there were two bullets inside of Garfield. So what they did, they began to probe and probe and probe into President Garfield to find that second bullet. And they, over I think it was like a week or 2 week span, it was several procedures and operations of digging. And they, at one time, they even called Alexander Graham Bell in to even try to magnetically find the bullet. And they couldn't find it. And in the end, Garfield died. But what historians believe is that he did not die from the bullet wound. He didn't die from the bullet. He died because they kept prodding and poking inside of him over and over and over, trying to fix him. They didn't understand germs and sanitation and things like that. Instead of letting his body kick in and naturally heal, which he probably would have been, he probably could have survived with the second bullet inside of him. But because they kept pushing and trying and doing, he died of infection. You see the connection there? You can fight the battle on your own and push and prod and prod and push and try to make it happen. But in the end, it leads to death. But for those of us that are in Christ Jesus, he's overcome the grave. He's alive today. The battle is already won. Your sins are already paid for. And as our band begins to come, it's already paid for. Today, we just have to trust and let the Lord fight our battle for us. Let's pray. God, today we come to you thanking you for Jesus. And Father, we thank you that our battle is already won in Christ. Lord, this is your battle. But the question that we're left to answer is, will we fight this battle on our own or will we give it to God? Will we fight the battle on our own or will we give it to you? And Father, and I just pray today that we would learn to give it to you. Father, that we would quit trying to manipulate. Quit trying to make it happen. Pray and trust in you. Father, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray today that the Spirit would convict them, that they would come and give their life to you to be saved. So Father, help us today. The battle is yours. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand as we worship. If you are feeling God speak to you, you feel free to come and pray. If you'd like for me to pray with you, if God so leads you to do that.